We've been heated, we've been yelling and screaming, and now it's time to get a level-headed analysis, which is what you would expect from Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider. Go ahead, Bob. The floor is yours. Why should we be cool, calm, and collected after last night's game?
Well, I don't think anything I'm going to say is going to talk anybody off any limbs or ledges or anything else. I would only say this, and it was interesting because I had a feeling this would be the case when the game ended. I'm looking at the game, and I'm thinking that's exactly the way the Leafs need to play if they're going to win this series. Now, I recognize they didn't score a goal, and I recognize they lost the hockey game, but I think, and this is just personal opinion, I think that the Toronto Maple Leaf fans, by and large, have a mindset that if the Toronto Maple Leafs shared that mindset, they would get swept like the Tampa Bay Lightning did last year. And that is, we've got the skilled players. This is the fans talking, not me. We've got the skilled players. Toronto Maple Leafs do. We've got the guys that are in the big money. We should be better than Columbus because they don't have the firepower that we've got. Therefore, we should win this series. And when we don't win it, and it's not easy, if the game's not easy, then we must be doing something wrong. And I think there's two points to be made there. Number one, I think you're selling the Columbus Blue Jackets way short. And I know the Toronto Maple Leafs aren't, but I think a lot of Leaf fans are when they see their lineup. I mean, Werenski and Jones might be the best defense pair in the league. And yep. And I'll tell you what, the second pair with Savard and Gavrikov, that's a really good, really good top four. You know, better than the Leafs top four, I would say. And when you look at their skill level up front, they're sneaky skilled. I mean, Atkinson's a good hockey player. That Texier, you know, these guys can protect the puck and they can play a puck possession game even though they're not game-breaking in terms of their offensive ability. So that's number one, is I don't think people give the Blue Jackets enough credit for the kind of team that they've got. And they're also, as a team, they're number one, again, defending the rush. I mean, this is an elite defensive team, not a good defensive team. It's an elite defensive team that, quite frankly, the Leafs don't match up well against because the Leafs are a rush team and nobody defends the rush in the NHL better than the Columbus Blue Jackets. So all that's number one. Number two, the Toronto Maple Leafs played a game last night that I think was way outside their comfort zone, and I thought they did an outstanding job with it. That is, being hard on pucks, winning battles, you know, boxing out the Blue Jackets almost as much as the Blue Jackets boxed them out. And there's so very, very little to choose by the end of the game. And what decided the game? What decided the game was a bad goal by Freddie Anderson. And it's not fair to say that about him because it's true, but it's not fair to say it because he was so good and made so many good saves, especially when he got the toe out on Bjorkstrand. That was an unbelievable save, just as Korpisalo made an unbelievable glove save on Austin Matthews. But I think this series, whichever way it goes, is going to be a lot more of the same and needs to be more of the same. Otherwise, I think the Leafs are going to fall into the same trap that the Tampa Bay Lightning fell into last year, thinking, hey, we're the skilled offensive team. Let's blow the doors off these guys. You aren't blowing the doors off the Columbus Blue Jackets. They're too good defensively. And so I think you've got to get outside your comfort zone. And I was impressed the Leafs were able to be as patient. And do they need to try and create more offense? Of course they do. Does Marner need to be better? Does Tavares need to be better? Yeah, sure. All of that is true. But it's not going to be easy. And I think Leaf fans deep down think, we should beat this team. They're not that good.
Yeah, well, I think you're right
about
that, Bob.
They are that
good. They are that good, but they're not Boston either, and they're not Washington. And I think
that tell you what, they played Boston after they knocked off Tampa last year. They played Boston really tough. Like a lot of people forget that. So, you know, they just look at it and say, well, you know, Boston went to the Cup final, and Columbus was, you know, the Cinderella story. They knocked off Tampa in the first round, and then they bowed out to the Bruins. But along the way, And I talked to some people in the Leaf organization because they went back and they looked at the tape, obviously, of what Columbus did to Tampa last year. But they also looked at what Columbus did with Boston and how well they played them. They're a good team. But you're right. I mean, Leaf fans are right to feel like they need more from some of their best players. But in overall style, temperament, and approach, I got to think they got to keep trying to do the same thing.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if Sheldon Keefe is preaching that. You know, I hope that they've committed to a game plan that they've been working on for 3 or 4 months, and they're not just going to throw it out the window after one game. And, you know, that's kind of a segue into the decision tonight, where I would assume Dave Tippett has been thinking back and forth for 3 months, Mike Smith or Koskinen, Mike Smith or Koskinen. He goes with Mike Smith, and then all of a sudden they lose, and game two it's Koskinen. So what does that say about his state of mind?
The leashes get real short in a five-game series. It's funny.
They do.
It's only, you know, five games, seven games, two-game difference, but it's amazing how much quicker, you know, the leash gets short. And so it was interesting today that, you know, Engvall went in for the GOAT, but otherwise the lines were the same. But I wonder if after 20 minutes tomorrow night, if Tavares and Marner and Mikheyev aren't getting anything going, do we see the Mixmaster come out a little bit, and do we see Sheldon Keefe trying to stack up Tavares and Matthews and Marner on one line, or, you know, take your pick of any combination of Matthews and Marner and you know, one other top guy, whatever it might be. But I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Sheldon Keefe, he's only got one playoff game of experience now in the NHL. I mean, that's another thing that maybe we have been overlooking or just simply not bringing up enough. But this is a head coach who's not on the ice. He can't clearly have as much of an impact. But this, he didn't draw an easy hand either. He's up against John Tortorella and a team that is going to be remarkably consistent and diligent. And he's got to find a way to push the right buttons, because his predecessor couldn't do it. Right? Like, Babcock tried 3 years in a row and couldn't get over the top. And the expectation is Sheldon Keefe will be able to find a way to make that happen.
And no guarantees by any stretch.
No,
absolutely right.
Not.
And even a veteran coach like Babcock, I mean, he had the Leafs right where he wanted them on a couple of occasions against the Bruins. I mean, up 3-2. And they weren't able to seal the deal. And that's, you know, in large part because I think you can talk about personnel, but I think there was a real immaturity to the Leafs in the last two Boston series. And we'll see if the maturity is any better now. I'm sure it is better. I don't think there's any question they're a more mature team now than they were. But, you know, it's still hard. That style of play that the Leafs played last night, that's hard. That's hard work, man. And that's right outside their comfort zone. You know, that's not something that Auston Matthews or Mitch Marner or William Nylander grew up saying, that's the kind of hockey I want to play.
I know, but if they don't have an understanding, Bobby, that that's how playoff hockey is, then they're just, I mean, they have to understand that.
I think they do, or certainly I would say this, based on the way they went about their business in phase two and phase three, I would say they have an acute understanding that that's the kind of hockey that's necessary to play. And the sense I've gotten is that there hasn't, that, you know, unlike other years where maybe they would have bristled at this or bristled at that, that as of right now, they're certainly full buy-in. Now, if you play another game where you get shut out 1-0 or 2-0 with an empty net goal, you know, might you be bristling and saying, this isn't working for us, we need to do something else? That would probably be the most normal human nature thing in the world. But the entire overwhelming sense I get from Leaf camp is that the players are fully bought into what is being peddled to them and what we saw last night. And I know Leaf fans will hear that and they'll roll their eyes and say, oh, great. Is that what I got to look forward to, another shutout? But, I mean, flip it around. What if Corpusello lets in one bad goal and Freddie doesn't? You know, everybody's happy with Clams right now, and they don't care that it was a really tight game. In fact, they'd be celebrating and saying, there you go.
Right.
The boys have learned how to play defense. They know how to lock it down now. This team's ready to roll. Bring on the Bruins. Bring on whoever. But, you know, it didn't, and that's the margins in playoff hockey. It's really, you know, and the sad part for the Leafs, extra sad, and their fans, is that in the 60 or 65 seconds or whatever it was, before Atkinson got the goal, they had their best shift. They dominated that first shift of the third period, and Columbus was running around. It was the first time that really, for a sustained period of time, Columbus looked panicked in their own end. And they had some real good chances, and then it got cleared down. And then the next thing you know, it's in the back of the net on a bad goal. So, you know, that's playoff hockey.
What did you make of the Tkachuk-Scheifele hysteria over the weekend? The whole play, the aftermath, everything?
Yeah, Owen and I were on the panel. We talked about it. I didn't think it was intentional. I thought it was a complete and total accident. I understand, and I knew right away that Paul Maurice and the Jets would play it the other way. And in fairness to Paul and the Jets, I think, A, they probably believe it to varying degrees. And even if they didn't, which I'm not saying that they don't believe that what they've been saying, that they, every team in the National Hockey League would play it that way. That's playoff hockey. That's playoff hockey lore, if you want to call it that, where you use everything in your arsenal, try and get a guy suspended, try and get your guys fired up. And if it was, if the shoe were on the other foot, the Flames would be pulling the same one. For me, it's not a, it was a nothing for that. So
right.
Anyway, should also point out a little news for you guys, because the Dallas and Vegas are playing right now, and they just had the anthem, or they're having the anthem. And I'd heard about an hour ago that there were probably going to be multiple players that would take a knee during the anthem. And it's on Twitter now that Robin Leonard, Tyler Seguin, and Jason Dickinson kneel with Ryan Reeves for the U.S. and Canadian national anthem. So just a heads up on that front, if that's something that interests you, as it interests me.
Yeah, that is interesting, because we were talking about it earlier this hour, that you know, Matthew Dumba, he didn't take a knee, but he raised his fist in the air, and Dumba's speech over the weekend, I think, resonated with a lot of people, and there was some, I think, curiosity. How is this going to go, you know, with what's happening with other leagues around the world, and most notably the NBA, which is so closely linked to the NHL, and how the NHL would react, what the NHL's thought process is on that. And I wouldn't be surprised if now it kind of, the ball gets rolling a little bit,
yeah,
if a few players decide to do it.
I would agree with that. And I mean, the NHL and the NBA, in many respects, they're linked in a lot of ways, and in many respects, they're quite opposite.
Right.
One's a primarily white sport, one's largely a people of color sport. And you know, in the NBA, virtually everybody is taking a knee, or so it seems, and virtually nobody in the National Hockey League, you know, outside of Matt Dumba on the day that he did that brilliant speech, flanked by Darnell Nurse and Malcolm Subban, who were playing in the game. And then, as you point out, in his own game last night against Vancouver, Matt Dumba, you know, raised his fist in the air. And I was on Montreal radio, and they asked me about it this morning. And the point I would make is, I would hope, A, that every NHL player feels comfortable in doing whatever they're comfortable doing. If they want to make a statement, then by all means, they should be free and clear to make that. And I would hope that they would feel that way, that they could do it if they want to do it. And if they don't want to do it, that's fine too. You know, it's the thing I found with all of this. And again, I talked about this a lot in Montreal this morning. I mean, I'm an old guy, so I remember 1968 when Carlos and Smith at the Olympics raised the black gloves and the fists in the air. And I was a very impressionable kid, not quite a teenager, but when Muhammad Ali, A, changed his name, and B, you know, was prepared to go to prison and be stripped of his title to make his statements on social and political justice in the United States. And, you know, and when Kaepernick did it, and when J.T. Brown did it in the NHL 5 years ago and took as much abuse as he took, I have gone record before. I think it's one of the most courageous things somebody can do, because it's, you know, Kaepernick virtually lost a career over it. And now it's become institutionalized in a good way, I think most people would say, but not all of them, that, you know, multiple people are doing it. You know, entire baseball teams are now are now kneeling. And there was Kaepernick out on the limb by himself for so long, and it become such a tired argument about, you know, disrespecting the flag and all that, at least in my opinion, because there's peaceful protest and systemic issues that they feel need to be adjusted and corrected. And so for NHL players to be fully cognizant of that and to feel comfortable doing it, good for them. But if they, as I said, if they don't feel comfortable or they don't want to do it, and I was surprised at the number of people that got, some people were mad that Darnell Nurse and Malcolm Subban didn't take a knee alongside Dumba. And if you know, Darnell Nurse made a pretty eloquent statement on Instagram about his experiences with racism and growing up black in a hockey world, you know, pretty much a white hockey world. Mm-hmm. So I think everybody's got to take care of their own house and do what feels comfortable for them. And we need to be respectful and understand that, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah,
well said.
It's still your own individual decision. And if you know, what happens during the anthem doesn't mean that you're not going to partake in change when it really matters, you know, behind the scenes. And within the system and within the day-to-day, you know, operations. So, you know, and we're not going to know exactly what has happened here over the last couple of months, like how things have changed probably for a couple of years. But I hope it continues to stay at the forefront, and I think it likely will. We'll see. Great stuff, Bob. As always, enjoy the games tonight. We'll do it again later in the week.
Awesome, guys. Thanks very much.
Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider. Yeah, so we're tracking the NBA bubble, the two hubs in the NHL, Edmonton and Toronto and Orlando. There's been no positive tests in any of them, right? The NBA, no positive tests. The NHL, no positive tests. So everyone's in, everyone's played, and everyone seems like they're getting comfortable. As long as they continue to stick to the protocols, which they should, it's not a time to relax now and pat yourself on the back.
No.
I feel pretty good about getting there, right? Like, think about it. We talked about this for months. Can it work? How will it work? What will happen? What's the reaction? What's the blowback? Can you trust everyone? Now all of a sudden we're just here and there's games going on and it's like, yeah, there's a game and everyone's playing in it. Let's go.
It's gonna have a Big Brother feel to it pretty soon because people are gonna start leaving the building. And leaving the building as soon as you're gone, you're gone.
Well, that's true. Yeah. I mean, there's gonna be eight teams out of here within the next week.
Yeah, the Rangers could be gone tomorrow.
Could be out tomorrow night.
New York could be out of the bubble tomorrow.
That's right. Yep, that's right.